Being conduits of God's blessing. That's our fifth core value. We are in our fifth week of What's Central at Central. We're studying something that everybody has, core values. You live by your core values, like it or not. You've got them. People have them and use them when they drive, when they eat, when they bet on the Super Bowl. People have core values and they're exercising them. Groups of people also have core values. Companies, teams, schools, churches have core values. They're evident in what you see going on around them. So does Central Christian Church. So here's number five. Here's how it reads. We want you to hear it and be familiar with it. We are conduits of God's blessings. We accept from God the responsibility to be faithful with the resources He entrusts to us. That means we work hard to use resources faithfully. It also means we plan to use resources with God as the provider of all that we need to do, all that He wants done. Amen? All right, so there's something we've got to get done right away. What's a conduit? It's not just when a Jamaican guy is trying to encourage you and say, you can do it. No, it's something else. It is a delivery system. It is what we would call a channel or a medium or a pipeline, a duct. This past week, we all appreciated the conduits of heat in our homes, didn't we? And we appreciated the gas lines that brought the gas to our homes and the electric lines that brought the power to our homes. And we appreciated the duct work that directed the warm air to the right places in our houses as we needed it. Those were all conduits of blessings. And thank you, Lord, for those conduits of blessings this past week. That's what you and I are supposed to be when it comes to the good things that God sends our way. That may mean material things, spiritual gifts, energy, talents, opportunities, resources of any kind. You and I are supposed to be a delivery system of God's good things to other people. We've learned about stewardship. That's really what we're talking about. And this is another facet of stewardship today. I want to speak not just so much about being the caretaker of the storage shed, but today to talk about how we are a delivery system of the good things that God has to give His people. Let me give you a couple examples right off the top from Scripture where this wording is kind of used. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what Paul says. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. All right. We have this treasure. If you look at the context there, Paul is talking about the gospel. That gospel message, the power of salvation, the life-giving message. What a precious treasure God has given to us. And then he says, and we have it in these jars of clay. Now, what's that? Well, that's me and you. Remember, we're made out of dirt. And when Paul says that God has taken this precious treasure and put it inside of jars of clay, he is talking about the fact that we are the containers of a wonderful, precious gift that God wants to give to others. We're conduits. We're not the treasure. We are the conduits of that treasure. We are a delivery system for God's blessings. Here's another place where he uses similar language, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. You see the similar language here? Houses have a variety of containers. In my house, we have a variety of vessels, containers. Sometimes, like if I'm helping Carrie get some food out to serve when we have company, she'll set me straight on that. No, no, don't serve it in that. And I'm thinking, what? What's wrong with a pan of green beans on the table? No! No, put that in this nice dish, the serving dish. Oh, okay, whatever. And then out in the garage, I've got a variety of containers out there too. Some of them are full of old oil. Some have got dirt in them. Some have got grass clippings that are molding. And in my bedroom, in our bedroom, we've got, Carrie has among some other containers, a nice jewelry thing that she keeps all of her nice jewelry in. I tell you, there's quite a difference between the containers out in the garage and the nice jewelry container in the bedroom. So which container would you rather be? In God's house, Paul says, when you keep yourself clean and set apart, that makes you a usable vessel for noble use, for honorable use, a delivery system for God's blessings. With this as a core value at Central, we should be constantly looking for the best ways for us to be the best conduits that we can be. And so today, I want to get into one of Jesus' most basic and important teachings about stewardship to help us home in on that. It's Matthew chapter 6, all right? So if you got your Bibles, and when you get those open, please, to Matthew chapter 6, we're going right to the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. An older lady was coming into the church building. The usher met her and was going to help her find a seat. He said, "How far down would you like to sit?" And she said, "I'd like to sit all the way down. I'm tired today." We're going to sit down in chapter 6 of Matthew, all right? We're going to sit all the way down in here, take a look at it, because it's an important message for this subject of being a conduit of blessings. Jesus is talking, first of all, in this chapter about hypocrisy, about people doing the right things but for the wrong reasons, to be seen by people. Verse 2, verse 16, he says, "Those who have received the praise of men, they've already gotten their reward in full." Both those verses say that. And then in verse 18, Jesus just makes it clear it would be better to let God give you your reward. And he will, if you're doing it for the right reasons. There's this danger for anybody who serves the Lord that at some point we would decide to exchange the applause of heaven for the praise of people and get caught up in that instead. The reward we get from people can start to matter to us more than treasure in heaven. Jesus says to those people here in Matthew 6, listening to the Sermon on the Mount, and to us today, literally says, stop laying up for yourselves treasure on earth. Stop laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. Jesus has a way of new life. It's life in his kingdom, and it's superior to that. It's the way to be, for us to be, the best conduits of God's blessings that we can be. And it involves three basic choices. I want you to get all three of these, and I want you to listen to them today and think about, where do I come down on this? I have a choice here. On which side of this do I come down? Which side are you choosing? Here are the three choices. First of all, there is the choice to invest in things that last. Chapter 6, verse 19. Here's what it says. "Do not store up for yourselves," or stop storing up for yourselves, "treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You may have heard that first part quite a bit, and the last part too, but I want you really to think about the last part today. Your heart will be also. Treasure first, and then your heart. I remember in college, there were some students who, by a good thing, I suppose, had school handed to them. Their expenses were totally covered. They didn't have an expense or a care in the world. And then there were some other students, and by the way, I'm fine with that now. Then there were some other students, the rest of us, who struggled to be there. I mean, you had to get the bill paid off to be able to come back the next semester. Those were the students who drove cars that were sold and rusty. You had to have a tetanus shot to be able to sit in it, you know. Friday night was a good time if you went down to Turkey Creek to watch the moss grow some more. That's where they were at. Guess which group of those two appreciated their education more? The things that you work hardest for are the things that mean the most to you. The things that are handed to you oftentimes don't mean a whole lot, do they? Those things in life that cost the most are the dearest to us. Can I get a uh-huh on that? You're thinking about that. All right, think about it. Parents of toddlers don't realize it at the time, but all of those nights of sleep deprivation and all of the difficulty of pregnancy and childbirth and all of the hard things that you go through just to get that little one into this world safely are all part of God's way of making sure that you have invested enough in that child so that when he hits age 2, you'll keep him. Think about that. If children cost us nothing, would they be as dear to us? I think our nation needs to be asking that question. In the church, there are people who pour themselves into what's going on here. And they are allowing themselves to be a conduit of God's blessing to the people here. There are people who give of themselves. They give of their time, their money, their abilities. And then there are also other people who are just kind of on the fringes, who watch and who let others carry the load. Of those two groups of people, who do you think holds the church more dear? Guess whose hearts are touched more by what's going on here? Guess who cares the most that the church thrives and grows? It's called engagement. People who are engaged here are the people who are investing their treasure in the Lord's church. Most people think in reverse order of how Jesus said it here. We tend to think that if people's hearts are into something, if they believe in it, if they let it occupy their minds, their emotions, well, then they're going to invest themselves in that. They'll put their treasure where their heart is. And that may go on, that may be true, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus said that we ought to invest ourselves in eternal things as a way of making us into people whose hearts are set on eternal things. Heart follows treasure. That's why it matters so much that we invest lives in things that last. That has a lot to do with where your heart will be. In fact, this morning, if you're having trouble putting your heart into the Lord's work, then I want to suggest to you that one thing that might help is do some inventory of where do you put your treasure? Where are your hours going every week? What gets your first thoughts when you get up? Your last thoughts when you go to sleep? What gets your most intense planning? Your most careful and deliberate creativity? That's where your heart will go. When you're dead and gone from this world, what will you have done that will last? What will you leave behind that will last? I'll tell you what, I want to leave behind something more than a headstone and an insurance policy. I choose to be a conduit of God's blessings, to put my life into things that will last forever. Where do you come down on that choice? Let me suggest to you three areas where we can make that kind of an investment that really count, that really matter. The first one is in our homes. Whatever your home looks like, in our homes. Marriages have eternal consequences. They're the place where faith is supposed to be perpetuated, where children are born and reared, where the course of society is set, our homes. When I choose to make my marriage thrive, I am investing myself in something that has the potential to have eternal consequences. Likewise, when I let my marriage flounder or I take it for granted, then I'm acting in a way that has the potential to impact forever. Whatever I do to make my marriage grow is laying up treasure in heaven. Ultimately, any distraction that keeps me from being a marriage-building husband is designed by the devil himself. So yesterday, we had a bunch of people, somewhere between 20 and 30 people from Central at the Better Marriage Seminar. Isn't that a great thing? Cost them money. took their time for the day, but they were spending their treasure on something eternal, and their hearts will follow that investment. You watch. Rearing children is another thing that we do in this world that has eternal consequences. Think about it, parents. When you have a child, when you bring that life into this world, you are a co-creator with God. You realize that? You have started something eternal. Your child won't always live with you, at least we hope not. But that soul that you helped form is going to live forever somewhere. What an awesome thing. So whatever I do to help my children and grandchildren grow up in Jesus is laying a treasure in heaven that can't be taken away. I'm so glad that we got the Sunday school group started with the Parents for Teens. They need it. Any distraction then that sidetracks me from being a life-shaping parent or grandparent now is a distraction designed by the devil himself. You think about that. One of the places we involve that lasts forever is our homes. Here's another place, and that is the Lord's church, investing our lives in ministries of the church. It's one of the ways that we invest in things that last. There's a university down in Waco, Texas. Most people know about it mostly because of Chip and Diana Gaines now. But Baylor University, it's actually a Baptist school. And there is a story, I couldn't get a name attached to it, but a story that keeps turning up about a Christian man who years ago gave money to start building that school. And then later in his life, lost all of his property, lost everything. And people asked him, "Don't you wish that you had the money back that you put into that school?" And he told them, "Not at all. It's all that I have saved. If I had kept that money, I would have lost it too. I'm thankful that I gave for the building when I did." We're going to ask you today to engage in some new way to become a conduit of God's blessing in His church, especially if you're just on the fringes right now. We'll give some more details about that later, but I want you to start thinking about that. How can I be a blessing, a conduit of blessing in the Lord's church? Individual efforts necessary, but those efforts, when they're all put together and we do them together, are even greater. It's why Jesus put us together as many members and said we are one body, all of us part of it. When we deliberately become a conduit of blessing to others, we collectively are storing up treasure in heaven. A third place we can make that investment is in people's souls. All through the Bible, God actively, ultimately focuses on the souls of human beings. We can feed people who are hungry. Jesus did that, and we ought to. But they'll be hungry again in less than a day. We can help people through sickness or a crisis. Jesus did that, and we ought to, but that won't keep them from becoming sick or facing another crisis later. When we give people Jesus, we give them something that lasts forever. So being a real conduit of God's blessing in someone's life means definitely we will help them to know Jesus Christ. Anything that stops short of that, we are cutting short what God wants to do for people. A lot of the stories that we learned as kids were written to teach us some kind of important truth, some kind of a lesson. And I think that is probably true as I review the story of the three little pigs. Remember those three guys? In fact, we just went over the three little pigs in my Sunday school class last week. Each one of them invested his time and energy in different ways, right? Two of them invested one in straw, one in sticks, didn't work out so well. And that kept them from being helpful to anybody else. Then there was a third pig who chose to direct his efforts to things that would last. I wonder if James Halliwell Phillips, who wrote that story over 150 years ago, intended to use it to teach this important lesson from Jesus, that we should invest in things that will last forever. First two pigs couldn't help anybody, but the third pig, who invested wisely, was able to be a blessing to his brothers, depending on the version that you're reading of the story. Now, we can choose to invest our lives in things that last. That's one way to be a conduit of God's blessings. Which side of that choice do you come down on? Here's the second thing we can do. That is that we have this choice not to worry about earthly concerns. Go back to Matthew 6, look at verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" Hop down to verse 34. "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own." Both verse 25 and verse 34 start out saying basically the same thing. They begin with the word "therefore." Therefore, Jesus says, don't worry. And any time in Scripture that you run across the word "therefore," that is a good time to figure out what it is there for. All right? What is it there for? Look at it again. Jesus had just finished talking about the pull of treasure on earth versus treasure in heaven, and about the choice to serve either God or money. So Jesus is basically saying, you have a tendency to overconcern yourself with the temporary things, the lesser things, so I am giving you this command, don't worry about material things. Therefore, don't worry. This isn't just about amassing wealth. This is about our whole attitude towards material stuff. It'll often spell the difference between being able to be a conduit of blessing or not. Because if we're a person who's preoccupied and worried about material things, it holds us back from being the conduit of blessing that we're supposed to be. So Jesus gives four reasons to choose not to worry. I'm going to zip right through these. Are you ready? Here we go. We shouldn't worry, first of all, because it's irrational. Verse 25. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? All the teenagers said, wait a second. No, I know. It places emphasis on life's lesser things when we worry about those things. It's irrational. It's kind of like worrying about, oh my, I wonder what I'm going to wear during my brain surgery. There's something going on more important than what you're wearing, all right? It's irrational. Verse 26, it's irreverent. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I don't know how birds pulled through last week. They were outside. I didn't have any in my house. And I'm confident, though, that next spring there's going to be birds flying around. How do they survive that? Jesus says God takes care of them. Some of you think, yeah, he takes care of them because I put food out for them all the time. Well, however he takes care of them, Jesus says, look at that. If God takes care of them and they're okay, you're worth much more. To suggest that God won't take care of you and he takes care of those things would say that God has skewed priorities, and I don't want to be the one who accuses him of that. It's irreverent. Verse 27, it's also irrelevant. Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Let's try that. I'm not sure if it's working or not. In fact, I can't even tell. Doesn't change a thing. If anything, worrying shortens your life. E. Stanley Jones says, worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's troubles. It's irrelevant. It's not going to change it. Lastly, it's irresponsible. Look at verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Folks, there's another way to say all of this in summary. Here it is. God is in control. God's got this. God will do the worrying for you. Why repeat his work? You need to go out and fix the color of the sunset. You need to make babies cuter. You need to oversee the birth process of kangaroos. You want to adjust the speed of the earth's rotation, tweak its angle a little bit? Or do you think maybe that God has got that taken care of? God's in control. When we make the choice not to worry about earthly things, we're saying that we believe that, but we're also freeing ourselves up to be a conduit of God's blessings. Where do you come down on that choice? The choice to choose not to worry. Here's a third choice that we can make, and that is the choice to seek God above all else. Verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This point right here is really just the application of the first two. How do I make sure that I am investing my life in things that last? How do I make sure that I'm not just worried about stuff? Here's the answer. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Life is often a choice not just between good and bad things, but between good and better things. Seeking good things in life, that's not a bad pursuit, but sometimes it's kind of like, oh, standing in a buffet line, you've only got one plate and two hands, you know. There's all of these opportunities, all of these good choices in front of you, but you've only got so much that you can carry and put away. The old all-you-can-eat buffet. Come over to you, take your plate, and said, that's all you can eat. So those good choices are there. But there's just so much room for so much. And then there are the best choices. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You're laying out your schedule for the week? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Trying to make a decision about your career, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Looking for someone to marry, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Going to buy a car, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Are you on the internet? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Are you choosing a friend? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You going to get out of bed Monday morning? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You thinking about doing some volunteer work? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Are you tempted to get sidetracked with stuff instead of what matters? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Today, every day, you are faced with the decision. Will you choose to be a conduit of God's blessings, or will you choose to be something less? Right here this morning, you need to make that choice, to choose to give him first place in your life or not, to choose to place your treasures in heaven where they won't be lost or subject to being stolen. You have a choice to make. Today, if you're outside of Jesus, if you've never stepped into a relationship with him, then we want to present you with that choice. It was created when he made it available to you, and today you hear that you have the opportunity to become one of his followers, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If you haven't done that, if you haven't made the decision to be a follower of Jesus, that's a decision you need to make. Because up until now, you have chosen not to. Today, we want you to make a different choice. That's our open agenda at Central Christian Church. No apologies for that. And it might be that you're here today just ready to do that, or ready to learn more about what's it mean to follow Jesus. How do I do that? We'd love to show you from God's Word. We're going to have an opportunity for you today to come here and to learn about that, or come forward and say, I'm ready now. I'm ready to acknowledge who Jesus is, to repent of a past life, to be baptized into him, raised up a new person, and start brand new. What a great day this could be. February 3rd, 2019. Maybe today you're going, I made that choice, but I'm on the fringe. I'm one of these people on the fringes. I haven't really been investing my life into permanent, lasting things. And I want to be a better conduit of God's blessing. How can I do that? I'm glad you asked that. Because in a little bit here, we're going to have an opportunity for you to do a very tangible thing and to attach yourself to some ministries of the church where from here, through here, you can become a conduit of God's blessings. That's one of our core values at Central Christian Church. And we want to present ways for you to do that. So you're going to hear a little bit more about that. And before you're out the door today, you'll be encouraged to be part of that. Starting right now is the time to make decisions. What are we going to do? Let's stand together. I'm going to be down here at the front. After we have prayer, we're going to have a song together. We're going to dismiss. I'll be down here at the front. If you have a decision to make or want to share that, would you please come down to the front? Maybe you need somebody to pray with you, encourage you. We're here available to do that. Not just myself, but the rest of our staff, our elders who are here. We want you to understand that we want to minister to you and be a conduit of God's blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it sets it straight for us, gives us a picture of what life in you is supposed to look like. Father, thank you that our lives can matter more than just the temporary stuff that we're going to leave behind here. And for the command that Jesus made to stop laying up just treasures here on earth, but to lay up treasures that are going to last. Our lives find purpose and meaning in that. And apart from that, Lord, they are empty and short. Help us, please, to make good choices. Use this time, God. I pray that you'll remove the hindrances, the distractions for this moment. Help us to focus on our relationship with you and what it is you're calling us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.